On this episode of Still Loading, we keep on rolling. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. I am your host, Josh Koval. We are continuing with our Summer of PS2 event, where we were releasing a PS2 review every single week over the summer up until the North American release of the PS2. And this week's game, we are talking about the legendary classic, well, maybe not legendary, but classic, Katamari Damacy. And with me, I have my friend Brian on. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Josh. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Tired. I just got off a long shift to work, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I invited you on because this is one of the games on your list. Mm-hmm. And I guess to start off, what we've been doing with everyone on the summer of PS2 is, what got you, like, what was your earliest PS2 memory, and or do you remember when you first got your PS2 or first played a PS2?
So, my first memory with my PlayStation 2 was receiving it from my dad as a present. I want to say it was for my Christmas or for my birthday, but my dad's house was where my PlayStation 2 lived, and I only ever got to play it, I went to see him every other weekend, so that's when I got to play it.
Okay.
Some of the earliest games I played were probably Crash Bandicoot.
Okay. Wait, like, which ones? Was it, like, Wrath of Cortex or, like, the Twin Sanity game?
Wrath of Cortex.
Wrath of Cortex. Okay. I think that was, like, the first one after Naughty Dog, too, mm-hmm. I think. Anyway, go on.
And then I also had James Bond Nightfire.
Fuck yes.
It's a great game.
That is a phenomenal game. Mm-hmm. That is one of... I've been doing a James Bond series... at the time of this recording, I've been doing a James Bond series. Who knows when this comes out, if it'll still be going on. But Nightfire is by far going to be like the finale of that. It is my favorite James Bond game.
What do you think about Agent Under Fire?
I like it. It's definitely a lot more primitive. I actually did an episode on it already. It's definitely, you could see the roots of what it was going to become.
Yeah.
And that it's very rough around the edges. But overall, I re-beat it in preparation for that episode. Mm. Still a pretty fun game.
It is. Now, my last one might be a little bit controversial for you.
All right.
Rogue Agent.
I don't hate that game.
You don't hate it.
I remember playing it. I was like, all right, I could see it. It's not great, but it's also not as bad as everyone made it out to be. Do you like it then a lot?
No, I had it. So, I mean, there's a little bit of nostalgia for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's not that great of a game.
I respect what it tried to do.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't quite hit every mark. That's the best way I've described, like, Rogue Agent. It tried.
Yeah.
And that's about the best I could ask for. So, we were talking about Katamari Damacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was released in Japan on March 18th, 2004. Mm-hmm. It was released in North America on September 21st, 2004. And the director of the game is Keita Takahashi.
Right.
For those who've never heard of this game, how would you describe this? It's an interesting game. It's kind of like a very unique and quirky type of title.
It's a work of art.
You think so? Because there's always that argument, is video games art? I guess the always distinction is it high art? Is because people are snobby about shit like that.
Oh, I wouldn't put it in a French museum or anything. But
not in the Louvre?
No, but the game was designed as an art piece. I'm not sure if you know this, but the director of the game was a sculptor.
That's actually one of the notes I had down, and that's why in the cutscenes in between the gameplay, all the characters look kind of blocky and strange. Is because he modeled them after his sculpting.
Mm-hmm. He went to I don't remember the name of the school, but a prestigious art school in Japan.
Okay,
and he was known for like critical but humorous sculptures.
Okay,
and he wanted to make a game that was kind of straying away from the norms of video gaming, like all the fantasy with characters with dark and brooding pasts, like an evil villain and all that.
I wish they would do that more often still.
So he created a game that was like light and fun, but and without a villain. And that,
I don't know, the King of the Cosmos is kind of a dick.
I was actually going to say that. I do not agree that the game is not without a villain.
Yeah.
Because the King of the Cosmos kind of is the antagonist in a way.
We'll get to it. Continue what you were saying.
But anyway, that's what I think that the game is a work of art because that's what it was always intended to be. More recent releases of Katamari kind of strayed away from that, if you ask me.
I've only ever played this Katamari. This was the first Katamari game I ever played. I played it in preparation for this episode. Admittedly, I did not beat it. I was only like one or two stars away, but it's a pretty short game.
Yeah, it's not that long.
It's like six hours or so.
I've beaten it, I want to say maybe three or four times.
Okay.
And I have it over multiple systems. I've only played We Love Katamari after that. I didn't like it as much.
I think that was the sequel, the initial sequel.
That was
too,
the
right?
direct sequel to it, yeah.
And that's the only. I think that's the only other Katamari that Takahashi directed or was involved with too. I think
the only reason he was involved with it is because Namco told him that development would continue regardless of him if he decided not to work on it. And he didn't want to, but he worked on it because they told him that. And then from there, he didn't work on a single Katamari game. He actually had a new game come out recently.
I
don't remember what it's called.
I guess you're looking it up real quick. So they, yeah, so that, you're right. I could see what you're saying about it's an art piece because it is a very unique game. Like, even to this day, there's not a lot of games that try to, I mean, you would never really mimic the style, but they don't. You don't go for out-of-the-box concepts like that. So for those who have not played it, Katamari Damacy, the whole premise of the game, at least from the gameplay aspect, is that you roll this little ball called a Katamari, and it just picks up items as you go along, almost like it's just glue.
Watam, by the way.
Watam, is that what it is?
W-A-T-T-A-M.
Oh, like Watam. Okay, there we go.
But anyway, so you are given a... It's not really a ball... It's kind of...
It looks like one of those toys that you'd give a dog because it's got like little lumps and bumps all over the side.
You squeeze it and the lumps come out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you roll that around and it sticks to objects in the game world. But
only ones that are appropriately smaller than you. If you try to get into one that's bigger than you, it stops and might even knock off stuff that you have attached already.
Especially if it's moving.
Yes.
But it is... And the object of the game is to roll up as many things as you can to make the ball bigger, up to a certain size threshold.
And you usually have a time limit, too.
Most of the levels have a time limit.
One level I wanted to talk about, because I didn't get to play during my playthrough, but it's some bullshit, it's like when you have to roll up for... I guess we'll explain why. You're creating stars, and we'll explain why in a second. But one of the ones... So every level up until this, you are given a specific diameter that you have to roll up until and a time limit.
Yeah.
Well, there's one, there's no time limit, and they tell you the diameter, but they don't tell you what your current size is. So you have to just guess.
That's a pretty late one.
Yeah, it's like the second, it's like either the last or second to last level, and it's like you have to get as close as possible to 10 meters.
They show you how big it should be on the screen.
For like a second?
For like a couple seconds, yeah. So that you get an idea of it. But the issue is they trick you because they put you on top of a cloud. So it makes your Katamari look much bigger than it actually is.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that.
So when you roll off the cloud, you get a better perspective of what it is. Now, frankly, the size does not change. You still need to fit that circle that you see in the beginning. But it kind of throws you off for a second.
Because now your Katamari is suddenly smaller than you originally anticipated.
Yeah, exactly.
And your mind's probably still thinking like what it was when you first had what you perceived as a larger Katamari. Yeah. So let's dive into the story. We're still going to go into like the crux of the gameplay and talk about level as much as level by level as we can. Because the game's super goofy and fun, but the story is super simplistic.
Yeah.
You play as a prince, or is he called the prince?
I think they call him the prince, but he's the prince of all cosmos.
And his father is the king of all cosmos. And on a drunken bender, the king of all cosmos destroyed all the stars and all the constellations.
And is making you clean up his mess.
He's a fucking dick.
I agree with you.
You're right. So wait, did Keita Takahashi say that there was no villain in the game?
He wanted to design a game that had no antagonist. I don't think he succeeded. I think the way that would have been... Like, if he wanted to achieve that, he should have had an event happen.
Yeah.
Instead of the King of All Cosmos doing that.
Can you think of another game that actually succeeded in not having a main villain?
Well, I mean, there's Tetris.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Let me clarify. A game with a story.
A game with a story that has no antagonist.
I'm thinking of one, but I want to see if you... like, and I don't know if it's actually... if I'm actually right with it, but I want to see if you have any off the top of your head.
It's challenging because the market is so full of, you know, games with, you know, there's a bad guy and you need to beat the bad guy.
One I was thinking of is Journey. Because there are villains in it, but there is no villain. But there is no villain that is causing all of it, everything. If anything, it is the crumbling society that caused all the challenges that that your character faces throughout it. The end of the game spoiler is just you kind of getting enlightened, for lack of a better term, and then reincarnating almost.
Yeah, I was about to say that's debatable because if you look at it a different way, your character just dies.
And then it gets reborn.
Yeah.
Gets reincarnated and just to do it all again.
Another one is Flower,
which is by the same company, that game company.
You just reminded me of that.
Does that have a story too?
You gotta look for it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It's subtext.
Like, yeah, it's like pollution is basically the story. And I'm trying to think of other games that don't have antagonists.
Or villains. I guess antagonists, villains, similar enough.
Well, actually, there is a game that... it's another one where you need to look for the story. What's it called? It's a rhythm game. You're flying on a track, and you have three notes to play.
All I can think of right now is Crypt of the Necromancer. Necrodancer?
Necrodancer,
that's
what
it is. I still haven't played that game.
Crap, I can't believe I'm blanking on this. Basically, the game is that you're flying a ship. And you have different tracks, and each track plays a different instrument.
Is it an older game?
It was on the PS2. It was re-released on the PlayStation 4.
I was thinking of Space Channel 5 for the Dreamcast, but... okay. Well,
whatever.
If we remember it, we'll bring it up again. Mm-hmm. But no, so yeah, it does kind of have a villain or an antagonist because you wouldn't have to be doing all this if it wasn't for your father being a douche.
Correct.
And that's the whole point of the game. So he sends you to Earth in order to roll stuff up. And this was the first part of the game that really stuck out to me, in the sense that he sends you there and then you hear like this big like organ hit. Mm-hmm. The King of All Cosmos starts talking to you. And I was like, all right, I hate this style of music, but I kind of get what they're going for. And then it goes into a waltz almost.
The music in that game is extremely interesting.
It is so good. It's so strange.
A lot of it is the music director just humming.
Really?
No, it's like just humming or, you know, doing mouth sounds and all that.
My high school band's name.
but he got made fun of for doing that in public.
Really?
For making that, yeah. The rest of the team would make fun of him for making the music the way he was doing it.
But it's so good.
It's so unique, yeah. That's another part of the game that I think is just, you know, like I said earlier, it's an art piece. The game is just so unique in every way.
It honestly surprised me how good the soundtrack was. Mm-hmm. Because, especially with a game like that, you don't really... the soundtrack could have been... really easily made just to be forgettable.
Yeah.
But it sticks out so much.
I haven't played that game maybe in a couple of months, and songs still get stuck in my head.
I've only played it once, and I still think of that, the level entry screen, for lack of a better term.
Where he's describing what you need to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then I like how the loading screen is just the King of All Cosmos explaining, like, sending, you know, objects to Earth. And then he lists
hopes,
a bunch of different
dreams.
Things. Hopes, dreams. I will say, so in each level, you get a different objective. Mm. I was going to talk about one of my least favorite objectives, not the star one we were talking about before.
Is it the cow level?
No, I actually...
I hate the cow level.
I didn't get to the cow level, actually. No,
you did. You just didn't play it.
Which one was that?
I forget what the constellation is called, but basically the objective...
Oh, Taurus.
Yeah, that's it.
Taurus.
The objective of the level is to make your Katamari as big as possible without rolling a cow.
It's the same thing with the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It was the bear one. Fuck that level.
I hate it too. But like, it's really aggravating because like signs with a bear on it counts as
little tiny
bears.
Bear sculptures in general. So each level, you get a different objective. The most basic one, the one that actually helps progress the story, is just rolling your Katamari to as large of a size as possible.
Roll it to this size before this time limit.
Exactly.
And actually, just an interesting sidebar is that the original build or early builds of the game did not want to have a time limit in it. But they thought that it kind of really didn't fit the feel of the game.
I would agree with that.
So that's why some of the levels don't have a time limit. And Tauros, just like we were talking about, not Tauros, Ursa.
Ursa Major.
Was one of the levels that doesn't have a time limit. Because you want to take your time to make sure you don't roll up stupid little bear signs.
Well, I was just going to say, in some of the other levels besides just rolling up the stars is the constellations. And constellation levels are unique because they give you a different objective other than just making your Katamari as large as possible.
Yeah.
The first one that they do is Cancer, which I hate that.
You just roll up as many crabs as you can,
many,
man.
A lot of crabs. And that's an easy one.
Yeah.
That was super easy. I actually got that pretty well. Cygnus, I was never able to beat any other constellation level after the Cancer level.
Mm-hmm.
Cygnus was the first one, and that level I also didn't like because you have to roll up a bunch of eggs under a certain time limit, but it's not guaranteed to have swans in it. You're supposed to collect like a certain number of swans.
You're supposed to collect as many swans as you can, but you only have eggs. Yeah.
And you don't know what's in them. Mm-hmm. And the
you only know what's in them when you roll them up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they are the same every single time. It's completely random.
Yeah.
So if you go to the same spot again, you may get no swans. Or if you go to one spot before where you didn't get any, and now all of a sudden there's swans everywhere. You're just drowning in swans.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like those constellation levels at its core because it switches up the gameplay enough where it feels varied enough.
Mm-hmm. Something about the time limit I wanted to point out. I'm not sure if this is a sign that they thought about it a lot or did not think about it enough. But in the original Katamari Damacy, the time limit is kind of set to where you still have some time after you've finished getting to the size that you need to be at. And that's my favorite part of the game.
It's just freewheeling.
Just going around doing whatever you want. I forget what star it is, but it's the last star in which they confine you to the home, the house.
Okay.
I'm able to get to the point where I'm having trouble getting through doorways because my Katamari is just too big. And it's fun. I like it so much.
I like the fact that I've talked about this in older episodes of the show. At this point, the episode I'm referring to is probably really old, or at least a year, I should say. I shouldn't say really. But I like games where the reward for doing well is more gameplay.
Yeah.
It's not just, here's a new skin you get, or here's a new weapon you get.
Here's some currency.
Or here's some currency. It's more game. Mm-hmm. And it's in a small scale version of it. That's what you're talking about here. You complete the objective early, so now you get to have fun and you don't have to worry about anything. You get free reign just to roll the ball up as large as you possibly can.
And that's something I actually dislike about later titles of this game, is that I feel like they did more time figuring out how much time the level should take you, and you don't have as much free time afterwards.
That would be pretty, yeah.
That's why I don't like I played a little bit of We Love Katamari, noticed that, and just put it down.
No, I can totally understand why. Especially like when you get to large enough sizes, it doesn't matter what you're touching anymore, you just start rolling it up.
And to put in perspective to people that haven't played this game, there are later levels in which you can roll up baseball fields, airplanes, there are some kaiju.
Full houses. You get full kaiju, like Godzilla type
of
things.
There's like Godzilla, there's Jumbo Man.
What?
It's just a giant man. In earlier levels, you roll up his action figures.
This is a good segue, though, man. Some of the weird shit you roll up.
Oh, yeah. I love it so much.
There's a lot of unique stuff. I think one of my favorite is, like, you are rolling up. When you start getting large enough where you can roll up actual people, one, their screeches are kind of funny.
Yeah.
But two, I forget if they're, like, school bullies or not, but the dudes that have, like,
the pompadours?
Long. It's not just a regular pompadour. It's pompadour
an exaggerated
pompadour. That's,
yeah,
2 feet away from his face and mm-hmm. stretches out 2 feet long.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like 80s Japanese school bullies, yeah.
And it's funny because it feels, because pompadours and stuff was popular in America in like the 50s, so mm-hmm. I guess
they
just got it in the 80s. That's kind of funny.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's exactly the 80s, but
whatever.
Some time back then.
You always see it in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
Kuwabara.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I've not watched that show. I've been told I need to, though.
The main character of Part 4 has a pompadour. And he's very sensitive about it.
I need to watch this show, man. I've heard nothing but good things about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
It's a great show. But anyway.
Well, so you also get to roll up Just it starts out with like little small things like tick, like literally like thumbtacks and like little pieces of food,
game board pieces.
One of my favorites are actually the carrots because it makes your katamari so wonky. So you start rolling at this weird interval
because you like it sticks to the end, but you can't. Yeah, you can't. There's also mice, and then you get larger and start rolling up cats, and you know, crops. Like plants.
Specifically, like anything that has a stalk or is a long...
Like a pencil shape kind of thing.
Yes. It's great because it gives you a... it helps increase the diameter pretty quickly, but it's also awful because then it creates it lopsided. And it makes... Yeah, like you said, it harder to roll.
After a while, it starts to level itself out and kind of go back into it. And then, you know, you get larger than that and you start rolling up like... remote control cars, televisions, and then you start rolling up people.
And they scream.
Yeah. Have you ever had the police open fire on you?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Like, it doesn't do anything, right?
No,
it'll never do anything. I was always curious, like, if you sat there long enough, would the gunshots actually chip away at your katamari?
So that's actually an interesting segue. The katamari is destructible, but only up to a point. So I don't know if bullets will actually do it. Probably not. But... The idea in early builds was to have the katamari be like 100% destructible down to like the smallest setting it could be, but it was too much of a demand on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, that makes sense. Well, even because they wanted, I read somewhere they wanted to be able to have every object that you picked up on screen at the same time, but like you said, too much of a demand. Yeah. So at a certain point,
the screen flashes, you see sparkles, and the camera zooms out a bit. The katamari itself actually gets bigger.
And then it's just the objects, and they make it so you still can't see the katamari underneath it.
If you're playing it on the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3, you really can't see the katamari.
Mm-hmm.
But if you played the re-rolled re-release, I have it on the Switch.
Yeah.
The sharper, you know, edges and more vibrant colors, you can actually see the katamari underneath of it.
Really? I'm surprised you can't see it on the PS3, because I feel like if it was upscaled, then...
Well, the PS3 wasn't an HD re-release.
Oh,
They just ported it.
They just ported it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes more sense then. I think one of my favorite aspects of all the weird stuff you roll up is the people specifically, because everybody has a weird name. Sometimes it's Schoolboy A, and other times it's Sally.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to know who this person
exactly.
is. And everyone's just a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
There is also, like, beachgoers, and there's just all these different kinds of weird people.
Sometimes there's, like, couples that are in a dance, and you roll them up together because they're one unit.
Oh, they're like tumble.
Yeah,
some of them are like somersaulting or some
like they're like judo fighters that are in a tumble.
I hate the ones when you're small enough that the adults actually chase after you
and they kick
you
away.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
It's not. It's like it's weird because it's not when you're too small because they just won't notice you.
But it's when you're like not large enough to roll them up, but also not small enough where they can't notice you.
Yeah, like you're like half their size.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you noticed this as well. You probably did, but when an object is moving at a certain speed and you're not big enough to just roll it up, you can knock it over and then go roll it up.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that specifically with the Cygnus constellation level, because the mice, I would get a large enough portion where I could stun them and then I could pick them up. But that's annoying at times too, because it's not like they just stop in place when you stun them.
They fly away.
They launch off and then you have to go chase after them. Which is a little obnoxious, but it makes it... I like that because it adds an extra level of challenge to the game.
Mm-hmm. It's also kind of fun if you're unable to roll them up, they'll get up and run away, and they'll just run through walls
and
off the map.
They're gone, you can't get them anymore, so you have to be fast.
It's fun to watch.
They freak out so bad. I think some of my other favorite levels were... even though I didn't get it, because when you have the constellations, like we said before, you get a different objective other than just making your katamari huge. You have to collect a certain number of whatever the constellation is, usually.
Or avoid picking up whatever the constellation is.
And like the bear one, I thought was an interesting idea, but they made it unnecessarily difficult.
Yeah, it's pretty strict.
So in every other constellation level, you're supposed to pick up as many of the whatever constellation as you could. For cancer, pick up a shitload of crabs.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds weird out of context.
Sounds concerning out of context. Yeah,
very concerning. For Cygnus, you pick up as many swans as you can. But for Ursa Major, you have to pick up, you're only allowed to pick up one bear. Mm-hmm. So you have to grow, and they base your score off of how large of a bear you were able to pick up.
Right.
So you have to grow your Katamari without touching anything else.
Anything bear related.
And yeah, not even just regular bears. Mm-hmm. This, like we mentioned before, just statues of bears. Pictures, probably.
The same thing is on Taurus as well.
I didn't even bother touching that stupid thing.
The Katamari is actually white with black spots.
Ah, it's cute. It's a little cow. That's adorable. Even though, isn't Taurus technically a bull?
Yeah, but who cares?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going crazy. I remember when it was the cow, it had the hitting cow level mm-hmm. for those Diablo fans out
that's
there.
That's why I called it the cow level just a minute ago.
Just for Diablo yeah. reference, that's a good one. For those who don't know that, Diablo 1, there was a theory, there was a rumor, like a schoolyard rumor that...
Which turned out to be fake.
Yeah, it never existed, that there was a hidden cow level. And because it gained so much traction with the fan base, Blizzard actually put it into Diablo 2 as a true secret level that you can get. Which is kind of funny, because then later on, they reference that stuff in like other games. Because you have what? You had to collect Wurt's leg, and then you had a do something with it and open up the cow level. In Diablo 3, you get Wurt's other leg or something like that. And in World of Warcraft, it's like Wurt's arm. I forget. I'm butchering that, but it's Wurt's something. And it's a really good callback that only people, if you know that weird facet of Blizzard exclusive history, it's just a goofy little subsect. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there's all the different... What's your favorite constellation, actually, since we're talking about the levels?
If we're talking about all the levels, my favorite level is the moon.
Yeah?
It's the last one.
That's not the one that we're talking about where you can't see the size of your Katamari.
No, that one, I think, is North Star.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But the moon, it's the largest one that the game tells you to make. It's like 500 meters or something like that. And that's when you start rolling up like land masses, like islands, and rainbows, and whirlpools, and...
And that's what's fun towards the end of it, because then it's whatever goes.
It's just so big, and like you're rolling up volcanoes.
What drew you to Katamari? Like, what made you start enjoying the series?
So I remember when it first came out, I saw the commercials for it, and I thought it was really weird. I'm not sure if you ever saw the commercials for it.
No, was it trippy like all the other PS2 commercials?
It was like, you know, it was just some kid being interviewed by the news, and in the background you see a giant ball rolling across the screen.
So it was like the cutscenes from the game.
Exactly. Except there was like live action. And I remember...
Oh, wow. I didn't even know it was live.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I watched them, and I just thought, that's really weird. I'm probably not going to play it. Then I saw my buddy playing it, and he showed me one of the pre-level things, and the King of All Cosmos greets you in a different language every time.
I always thought that was really cool.
It was hilarious. And I, you know, he actually showed me what the gameplay was, and I just thought, all right, I'll give it a shot.
And then you fell in love with it?
Oh, yeah, I did. I bought every time the game released, I bought it.
I remember my first experience with the game. Like, I should say, by experience, I don't even mean playing it, because like I said, I just played it for the first time a couple weeks ago at the time of recording this. And my first experience, I was at an anime convention, and someone was dressed up as the Prince of All Cosmos, and I was baffled by this cosplay. It was good. Yeah. It was really good. But I remember looking at it, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? What? Who are you? What are you doing? And now, once I actually, and I even, it was years. I didn't ask anyone. I just saw that. I'm like, oh, it's probably from an anime I never saw. And years later, once I now know what Katamari is, it makes a lot more sense now why he was dressed up. And now I don't think it's nearly as weird. I mean, it's a weird character design, but it's not weird for someone to dress up with it. Yeah. Now. So, fun fact I didn't get to bring up beforehand. When Takahashi tried to initially get this greenlit at Namco, he had to show a proof of concept to them. Mm-hmm. And he actually got a bunch of students from a local college. I don't know if it was a community college. I forget what college it was, but he had them model all the different all the different objects that you roll up to show it as a proof of concept. So he could use that to teach students about the game industry, and at the same time he got his game greenlit because of it, which is kind of a cool little anecdote. I guess, is that an anecdote? I don't know. I'm bad at English.
You telling it to me is an anecdote, but it itself is not an anecdote.
There we go.
but It's really interesting, especially because I don't think something like that would fly nowadays.
Probably not. They would have to credit the students.
Yeah.
I wonder if they... No, because it's just a proof of concept. They probably didn't work on the actual game. They just worked on the proof of concept.
Yeah, and it was just... But, I mean, like, you know, there all comes down to, like, paying the students for their time and the work they put in.
But is he paying them with experience?
That doesn't work.
There's kind of a similar story with how Portal came to be. Have you heard that one before?
I have not.
So... Portal was birthed out of a student project. It was I forget what school it was from, but it was a college where a bunch of game design students made a game called Narbacular Drop.
Oh, I have heard of this.
And that Valve saw it, thought it was really fucking cool, and hired that team directly to make Portal, and that's how Portal came to be. So it's kind of cool how they just like yoinked them out of obscurity into this high profile series.
And yeah, now it's one of the most not one of the most successful, but it's a very successful game. I wish they would make a Portal 3.
I do. You know, Valve with threes, they don't make anything.
Yeah, they
past
can't
the second,
count that high.
No, they can't. they got to what?
2.2.
Or since if we're going by that, it would be 2.66 if the next one's supposed to be 3, because it would be in thirds.
Well, I mean, now they can count up to Alex.
Do you have a VR thing to try it? Would you buy VR to try Half-Life Alyx?
I would not buy it to try it, but
this kind of puts this episode recording in a place and time for those who are wondering. Yeah. This is it's a couple weeks removed from that announcement, but yeah.
We've dated the episode.
That's fine. I don't mind that. As long as they know when it comes out.
Now I would not buy a VR set to play that, but if I had one already, I'd probably try it.
I'm curious as to what it's going to be. I know my one friend is a huge Half-Life fan, and he's buying a VR set just so he can play a new Half-Life game.
Is he upset that it's not going to answer the cliffhanger from episode 2?
Do they already confirm it's
not? They confirmed that, yeah.
Oh, I haven't talked to him since then.
It's not fun.
Oh my God. Like, come on, man. Like, I can forgive stuff like Portal 2 and Left 4 Dead 2, because they're not heavy on story. Portal 2 is actually pretty heavy on story, but they end it pretty well.
Yeah,
they don't
Portal 2 is like a finished product.
They don't leave you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
They left the entire audience on a cliffhanger. And how long ago did Episode 2 come out? It's been over a decade at least.
Yeah, it has.
I think 06? I don't know, actually.
Was it on the orange box?
It was.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Orange Box released in, like, that was for the original Xbox? Or was it on 360?
It was original Xbox 360 and PS3, actually. Let me check, actually, while we're talking with that. Let me look it up.
We're digressing too much.
That's fine. We're also, Katamari's a short game, so I don't mind the digressions. Came out in 2007.
Okay, so 12 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been over a decade, which is crazy. So that means episode 2 has been out for at least over 12 years.
Yeah.
So it's pretty freaking old at this point. I guess, is there any points that we haven't covered yet that you wanted to cover before we kind of go into like final thoughts?
Well, the controls of the game.
That's a very good point.
I have a bone to pick with you. I was told you don't like them.
I got used to them.
Okay.
But overall, I don't think they're that intuitive.
So I think the controls really match the type of game it is. Like,
I will agree with that.
Because, like, everything about the game is unique. Why not the controls, too?
But unique controls doesn't mean good.
I think they're great.
I think they're fine. I do realize, though, that I was watching the long play. So for those who don't know about the controls, the way it works is that to move your Katamari forward, you have to move both joysticks forward. To move it backwards, you have to move both joysticks backwards. To turn, you alternate them almost like the wheels of a 360 riding mower. I don't know.
So the sticks are representative of the prince's hands.
That apparently that was what the original idea was, but they didn't do a one-to-one or something.
So
like
they,
that. But
they originally did something where you had to push and pull each stick alternately.
What it was. Yeah.
But they felt like the controls were very confusing in that state. So they changed it to where you just push both sticks forward. If you want to strafe, you push both sticks to one side. If you want to go back, you pull them. If you want to turn, you pull one and push the other. And if you want to give a speed boost, you do what I just said earlier.
You alternate the sticks back and forth, which is kind of cool. I never used that because I could never really quite get it right, but yeah. I didn't mind it.
The one thing I will say is that I think that a control scheme like that lends itself to the PlayStation because the sticks are level with each other.
Yes.
The Switch re-release, the sticks are not level with each other no matter how you're playing the Switch. So it kind of, like, for a new person to pick up the Switch version and play it, I could see why they wouldn't like that. But everyone I've talked to that has played it said they, A, either liked the controls, or B, didn't understand them enough.
I would probably classify myself as the didn't understand them enough, because after watching the replay, I completely forgot about a move that you could do.
Yeah.
It's the complete 180 where you just, I forget what button you click.
It's either clicking the sticks in or R2 and L2.
Something like that. Yeah. But that makes a huge difference, because if you want to turn around, then you're turned around in a second. Mm-hmm. But I always forgot to do that, so it would always take me forever to turn around. I didn't, now when I told Brenna, who is on a different episode this month, I don't know if it'll be before or after, who knows, it's a mystery. When I told Brenna about that, though, that was when I first started playing, and which was obviously how you found out then. So now playing it, though, when I got more used to it and when I got to play a little bit longer, because I think when I told her that, it was only like 1 or 2 hours in, and now it's I played a lot more since then, I got used to it. And I don't hate it anymore, but I do think there is probably a more intuitive way. But to kind of agree with you in a sense, thinking about how I wanted it to be, I don't think the game would have been as much fun.
No.
Screen kind of makes it adds to the experience of it, even though it's a little frustrating.
And it would go against like everything that game kind of stands for, because Keita Takahashi wanted to make it so like stand out from the rest of video games. And if you had a game where it was the left stick moves you and the right stick controls the camera, wouldn't that just be like any other video game?
Yeah, and it was even just thinking about that after like playing it so much, I agree with you. I don't think it wouldn't have stuck with you as much.
It wouldn't have been as unique of an experience.
Yeah, it's weird because I can't put specific words to the emotion I'm feeling right now, but it wouldn't be as good. And even though I have problems with it, I do think those controls elevate the game that a regular control scheme wouldn't have.
Do you know the names of the other Katamari games?
No. Katamari Forever is one.
Katamari Forever. We love Katamari as the direct sequel. There's Touch My Katamari on the Vita.
Gross.
those are the only ones I'm aware of.
And then Katamari Reroll.
Yeah, Rerolled.
Well, you know what? Let's see. Is there any others that we could see here? Let me see what we got here. So yeah, you have We Love Katamari, Me and My Katamari. Then there is a Katamari Damacy Mobile, Beautiful Katamari, Rolling with Katamari, I Love Katamari, then Kurogashi Puzzle Katamari Damacy, Katamari Forever, which we mentioned, Katamari Amore, which is interesting. It's a third, okay, and then it was for the iOS. I always think it's weird when you hear games that from a famous like console-based franchise that get portal games.
Like COD Mobile.
Yeah, and you don't know about it for the most part. There's some high-profile ones.
I'm sure that one like was released in Japan. I hear the mobile games really weren't that good.
There is one of my favorite series is Ratchet & Clank. There is a Ratchet & Clank mobile game.
Oh, yeah?
But it was released during the height of Ratchet & Clank, during the PS2, which means it was on a flip phone. I've seen screenshots of it, and I can't... I wish there was a way for me to play it.
There was a Saints Row game that I had on a flip phone.
Really?
And it was basically just like the very first Grand Theft Auto.
It was one of those top-down
perspectives? Yeah, top-down views, and you had like a little pixel guy, and you just ran around stealing cars.
Did it still have the same sense of humor as Saints Row?
No. It would be very hard to
translate that over to a flip phone.
Yeah, it's a very basic game. I don't even know if it had an objective.
The Ratchet & Clank one was like a side-scrolling platformer shooter, which kind of makes sense because Ratchet & Clank is a third-person platforming shooter, so it was basically like Contra, I guess. But I've only ever been able to see screenshots. I might try to look up that game on YouTube to see if anyone actually has footage of it, because I'd love to see it.
You probably can't get it without buying a phone that has it installed.
Yeah. I want to try. So Insomniac Studios are in North Carolina. I've said before, like, I'm from the Philly area. I should just drive down. It's only like a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. It could do make a day of it.
Not that bad.
So, all right. So this is a good spot to jump into. What is your final thoughts on the game? Like, do you think that, I guess, A, do you think it still holds up today? And B, do you think that there, I mean, Katamari Reroll just came out pretty recently, right? Within the last couple months?
Yeah, earlier this year.
Do you think that it's going to spawn more sequels?
I don't want it to spawn more sequels.
Fair enough.
I want Katamari Damacy to be the only game in that series. Unfortunately, it's not. But
as we just read.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that it's a very unique experience. I think that games should attempt to achieve what Katamari tried to achieve, regardless of whether or not you think it actually achieved it. I do think it holds up, but I think the only thing that's hindering it is the advancement in visual technology. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said earlier, you can still see the Katamari underneath all the layer of crap you have, like, no matter how big it is, if you look close enough.
I do think that it's going to get easier for what they wanted to do originally, because now, you watched the Video Game Awards and the trailer for that Hellblade 2 game. If that's what you're able to do with the new console generation, they could probably do what they wanted to with the original Katamari, as long as the polygons aren't too detailed, of course.
Yeah, if you make a game that looks exactly the way Katamari did back then, today, you could probably achieve everything that they wanted to achieve.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, I don't want them to do that, because it's just a cash grab. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You'd just be repeating what it was before.
That's why I like that Keita Takahashi is actually doing something different now. I don't know what Watam is, but I want to play it.
I'd be curious to see what it is too. I read an article a little bit earlier today that Takahashi's interesting because he has such whimsical games, but he doesn't always seem like the happiest person. Like, you can kind of see it. It's not necessarily that he's not like a miserable grump or anything like that, but it's almost like there's a little bit of sorrow behind a lot of the stuff that he does.
Well, I mean, like, that's kind of like, great creativity comes with great suffering.
Not always, but
a lot,
definitely. Yeah,
like most of the, you know, most famous artists had some sort of mental illness when you look back at it.
Well, with his specifically, I forget what the interviewer said, but it got me basically saying, like, the interviewer felt like he had these kind of sad undertones. Mm-hmm. I won't want to say depressed, I mean, but it could be. And it kind of got me thinking about Katamari, because I was thinking back about that game where it's this really happy-go-lucky fun game, but the whole premise, the whole reason behind it is basically a dirtbag dad.
And a dirtbag dad doing something kind of cataclysmic in a way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, also, when you pay attention to the cutscenes, the characters are very lifeless.
Yes.
Like the way they talk, when you look in their eyes, that's actually something I prefer about the PlayStation 2 and 3 versions, is that they're voiced in English, and it kind of translates to the, you know, the deadpan way they speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just bad voice acting or not, but the re-release, re-rolled, the voice acting is only in Japanese. And so unless you can, like, understand Japanese to a certain extent.
And, like, also understand the tone.
The tone of how a Japanese
person should be speaking. It's a lot harder for us as Americans to understand the nuances of Japanese voice acting, because we don't speak the language,
and unless
most of us.
Unless you're, like, a weeaboo that listens to Japanese, like,
exclusively.
Yeah, exclusively. But anyway, like, that, the deadpan way they speak is kind of lost in translation.
I could see that. I think the deadpan voices aid the whole kind of message, especially with how the kids talk to their parents and the parents talk to the kids and all the different cutscenes. Mm-hmm. I guess we didn't even really talk about the family that happens, like the family story. So besides the King of the Cosmos destroying everything, after you beat every level, you get to see this little cutscene of this family. I forget what the family's name is. Do you remember?
I don't know if they had a name, but basically it's a mom and her two children, a son and a daughter. And the son is aware of everything that's happening. He's seeing, like, all the stars going away.
It's the Hoshino family.
The Hoshino family, excuse me. Which
I didn't remember it either.
By the way, I believe Hoshi means star in Japanese.
that's kind of cool then.
Yeah. But anyway, so basically what's happening is that the son keeps saying, telling his mom that, you know, the stars are going away. And the mom's just like, oh, that's nice.
I just ignore you.
And interestingly, the dad, they're going to visit the dad because he's an astronaut.
See, I don't remember any of that, and I'm reading, it's up on the screen right now, and I'm like, oh, that's why there's all this.
The astronaut dad is supposed to go to the moon, but there's no moon, so the flight's canceled.
And then apparently the whole game ends with you rolling up that family and turning them into the moon.
I mean,
what it says here, at least on Wikipedia, which is always true.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like, when you get right down to it, you roll them up, but you also roll up the rest of Japan.
Just all of it.
Yeah, just all of it. So, I would assume that they're included in that. I mean, you didn't beat the game. You never got to the credits, did you?
I watched the cutscene. I watched a long play of it, but I didn't stick around for all the credits. Did something happen on the credits?
Yeah, you get to roll up the continents.
Oh, while the credits are rolling, you still get to play?
Yeah, and you're just awesome. Like, you're rolling up like Argentina and the United States and China, and it's fun.
You just destroy the world.
Yeah, and eventually you're just on a big ball of water, like rolling around the Katamari. Yeah. So anyway.
What would you say your final word is on Katamari? Did you already say it? I don't think we got to it. I think we ended up talking about that last little bit of the story first.
Yeah, well, I had mentioned that it's a unique game and I don't want there to be another one.
That's what it was, yeah.
And I think that anyone should play it, even if you don't like it. I think it's just an experience.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
For me, it was my first time playing it, and I found it so charming. Like we said before, the soundtrack is amazing.
Charming is a great word for that game.
It is. Mm-hmm. You feel happy playing it.
Yeah.
And I remember always wanting to go home from work and actually play a little bit more in preparation for this episode, which at times preparing for specific games, especially ones that I never experienced before, but I'm going to end up covering, like, there's a bunch throughout this PS2, summer PS2 series that I'm doing. There's going to be a lot that I don't necessarily enjoy, but I know the people that I have on will enjoy or do enjoy. So it was kind of nice to have, like, one of the earliest ones that I've played in preparation for this summer be something that I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah.
And even though I didn't beat it, it was more or less I got the gist of the game, and since the game's so simplistic, and I don't mean that in a negative way, because being simplistic doesn't mean bad.
Yeah, less is more in this situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because it's so simplistic, I didn't feel the need to completely beat it, especially because it was only 6 hours long.
And even if, like, you pick it up and you play it and you go, this is bullshit, it's still a good experience to be able to say I played this game.
And to kind of support something that I don't think AAA developers do often anymore.
No.
The PS2 was one of the last generations that took some risks, like a decent amount of risks on the types of games they release. I mean, I'm not saying you see a game like Katamari in the indie space, but you see more risk-taking in the indie space because they don't have these gigantic-ass AAA budgets, so they can afford to take these types of risks with unique gameplay options. There was just a freaking indie game that was announced where it's a dungeon crawler with a dating sim combo.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Boyfriend Dungeon?
I think so, yeah.
I heard about that. I didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah, it's a dating sim combined with a dungeon crawler.
That's interesting.
Right? And so apparently, like, from what I heard, you're like, your characters power up based off your relationship with them, and then you send your boyfriend into the dungeons and stuff like that.
The better
relationship you have with your boyfriend, or whichever boyfriend you choose, determines how well you can do in the dungeon.
Have you ever played Had a Full Boyfriend?
No.
It's a dating sim, but all the guys are pigeons.
Wait, like literal pigeons?
Literal pigeons. There is a game mode in which, like, the first time you meet them, you get to see, like, an anime version of them, but it's much funner to play the game without it. Like, the main character lives in a cave and constantly brags about her hunter-gatherer skills.
That's I think that's a good place to end on. Pigeons. So, Brian, thank you for joining me for this episode of Still Loading, for this summer PS2 episode.
Thank you for having me.
It was a lot of fun. Do you have any social media or anything that you want to plug? If not, that's totally fine. I have a couple people who are like, nah, I don't have anything.
But well, my name's Brian.
There you go. Good plug.
Yeah.
As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you would like to support me, you can check out the show on Patreon, patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. Even just $1 a month will help me do more with the show and continue to grow the show in the hopes that maybe I can go weekly or add video content. You can also email me, stillloadingcontact@gmail.com, and check out the network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. Go to podbeardnetwork.com. You can see all the great shows we have on it. And I think that's it. I always feel like I'm forgetting stuff with like my own plugs, but I think I got it all.
You could say goodbye.
Yeah, I guess I could do that. Yeah. So goodbye. No. Thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.
Good night, sweet prince.
しめて